all our leaders go away on the day of November. And on the vision, you've got this leaflet in your hands. Different people mean different things when they use words like vision, goals, aims, etc., etc. The way we use the word is that our overall vision is in the middle of this leaflet, which is the mission plan for the church. That's our overall vision, the way we're heading. But then every year, we seek God as to, you know, what his particular emphasis for us is for the following year. And we've done that every year for many years. And it tends to build one on top of the other, because what happens isn't that we have a new vision, but it's we sort of refresh the vision. And so just going back to 2015, the vision that year was encouragement, and this word encouragement has become very, very important in the life of the church. When I first spoke about it, I found 65 different things that encouragement does. And you might have heard that sermon. All 65 things were in it.
Amazing.
Anyway, encouragement continues to be important to us, because it is so important for us to receive encouragement and to continue along the road that we're going. Then we had passion for God in 2016, and once again, of course, that continues. But we did see in 2016 things happen in our church, and passion in our worship grew. And I'm convinced the passion that individuals were experiencing grew as well. Then 2017, we felt it was all about listening to God and getting ready to go into the community. And last year, it was all about building relationships in church and in areas of our community. And we don't forget those things. Those things still carry on. Each year builds on top of the last, and so all of those things still apply very much to us. Now, vision brings inevitable challenge. Yeah? Someone shared with me this morning that they woke up and it seemed like God was speaking, and she was thinking, it was Jackie, she was thinking about the living stones, and she realized that stones, they come into being through lots of pressure and being in challenging situations. So what I say this morning is going to be challenging, and you might even feel under pressure. I don't want you to feel bad about that. I don't want you to feel condemned about that. But I want you to feel encouraged, because God is saying you can do it, and we can all together do it. So don't feel condemned, be encouraged. So this year it is living stones. And how this happened, as we came into the afternoon of our day away, and it was time for us to consider, okay, what do we think it is that God is saying to us that needs to be our emphasis for next year? So I was saying this up front, and I said to people, we're now going to go into groups, and in the groups, we're going to talk about this, and then we'll come back. And while I'm saying all this, David Baker, very annoyingly, was sitting there waving his hand. I'm thinking, David, put your hand down, you can tell us later after the groups. And I carried on introducing, trying to explain and trying to get people, but David was waving his hand. I thought, oh, my, David, all right, what is it? He said, living stones. I'm like, what? And there was like a momentary pause. David helpfully elaborated a little bit on it, and then everybody joined in the discussion. And do you know, every year on this day, it appears that God speaks in some way. And the liveliness of the discussion and the kind of excitement in the group very much said that this was what God was saying to us. So as I speak, if you follow things on the back page, because that's got the reading on it that Carl just read. Please also use that leaflet to pray. You know, keep it somewhere handy, keep it in your Bible, and every now and then it'd be great if you would pray for us. So, Peter 2 verse 4 says, as you come to him, Jesus, who is the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. God has been saying to us, build my people. Now he is emphasizing that we are living stones. And you know that there's a very particular reason that Peter writes there, Jesus, the living stone, you also like living stones. He uses the same phrase about Jesus as he uses for us. And that's because, as it says elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus is our example, and we are to be like Jesus. And the whole thing about being living stones is all about being more like Jesus. And in that passage there are seven marks or seven distinctives about living stones, and I'm going to just speak about those. But you know, when with this whole vision, I knew that, oh, you know, living stones, and we're trying to build a building, but I didn't think there was any particular connection between us being living stones and the fact that we're trying to build a building. Until yesterday morning at about 5 o'clock. And I woke up and just going around my head, and it felt like God was saying, there is a strong connection and a strong parallel. And this is not just a coincidence, it's a God incidence. So I'm going to say something about that later. But first of all, seven marks or distinctives of being a living stone, and they all come out in that passage. So first of all, we're chosen by God. It's no accident that you are here. You're chosen. And because you're chosen, you have significance. And that word, significance, I believe is a very important word this morning for someone or for some people. You have significance. Don't believe that you haven't got significance. You are chosen. Chosen by God. Perhaps you're one of those stones up there, part of the building. Whichever stone you are chosen for that place. You'll see that on that wall, all the stones are all kinds of different shapes, and each one is uniquely in the place that it's in order to make a building, and that's true of you too. You're uniquely chosen for the place that God called you to. Then secondly, we are being built into a spiritual house so that you belong. You have a place and you are part of something much bigger than you. Verse 10 of this passage says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So you belong and you're part of something much bigger than you. Thirdly, we are called a holy nation and a holy and royal priesthood. So that means you are a holy king or queen. And you're also a priest. Did you know that we are all kings and priests in the kingdom of God? So therefore, you wear a crown, and you wear priestly robes. And what that means exactly, as it says up there, holy means you're set apart for God. Royal means you have stature, and you have significance. And you wear a crown. Priest means you have access to God. We have access to God, direct access to God. And one of the words for priest in Latin is pontifex. And that means bridge builder. So we are bridge builders. We help other people to get across the bridge to God. And also, as priests, we bring offerings to God. Just want to ask you a question. What sort of things do we bring to God, which are offerings? Have a quick word with the person next to you. Okay. Do you want to call them out? What do we bring as our offerings to God?
Our
love.
Our time.
Our praise.
Ourselves.
That's one great. Yeah, ourselves.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Our
prayers.
Our talents.
Our service. Worship.
Money.
Our money. Yeah, all kinds of things. So as priests, we bring all kinds of things. And actually, the next distinctive is that we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And everything we've just mentioned, our worship, our service, our giving, and our whole selves, are these spiritual offerings, spiritual sacrifices we bring to God. And if you were here last week, do you remember the picture of the child giving a parent a picture that the child has just drawn? And the parent delighted in it. You know? And in the same way, God delights in all the offerings that we bring. And God delights in your offerings, which is why you have significance. Then you are God's special possession. Another reason why we have significance. We belong to God. We're in God's family. Anybody seen that movie called Anastasia? It's a very old one, and it's the cartoon one. And Anastasia was the daughter of the emperor, king, or someone. Tsar, that's the one, the Tsar. And, but of course, the Tsar's family had been killed, she had survived, and then she was living a poor life, and then she discovers, or somebody discovers, that she actually is alive, and she's restored to her family. Well, when we become Christians, we are restored into God's family, and it's a place of royalty, as God's special possession. And we have a new value because we belong to God. Okay, then verse 9 says, that you may declare his praises. We declare his praises. I'm going to ask you a question again. How? In what way do we declare God's praises? Have a quick word with the person next to you. Okay. In what way then do we declare God's praises? Anybody want to?
Everything we do.
Everything we do? That kind of sums it up. Responding. Nobody else can answer that. It says, it's in everything we do whilst we are submitted and committed to God, isn't it? Yeah? So everything we do. So in whoever's making my cup of coffee later on, you're declaring God's praises when you do that. Yeah? Not just mine, everybody's. Okay, and then, call out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay, so we go from blindness to sight. Now the world is blind. It says in Corinthians that the God of this age has blinded the people of the world. And Do you know there are some very intelligent people who develop these, have developed these amazing philosophies of what life is all about, but God is not in it? No. Let's see. Let me work this out. If God has created the whole of the universe, you know, and he sustains it, how can a philosophy that excludes him have any merit whatsoever? Right? It's nonsense, isn't it? Yeah. But yet, people are blinded. But we are taken out of darkness into his wonderful light. However, we can be tempted, can't we? And we can be lured by the values of the world. So make sure that you have stepped totally into his light. Let go of the bits of darkness that you hold on to. Let go of the bits of darkness that you hold on to. Because you know, because you're in the light, it's pretty light, but it's a little bit dark, and you haven't really noticed. And sometimes, you know how particularly in this country, when it gets dark, it takes a while to get dark, you know? You cannot realize that the light is fading. I've played golf, in the twilight, and suddenly I think, I can't see the ball anymore. And you don't, you know, it's, suddenly it's gone dark. And Carl's saying, you can never see the ball when he hits it anyway. Yes. So make sure that that it's not getting darker for you, and that it's suddenly going to go dark if you've not noticed. Yeah. We've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light, so our lives should be full of light. Okay. So those are seven distinctives, right? So now I want to talk about how to live as a living stone. And the key is in this verse, as you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And the key is there because it's all to do, again, with the likeness of Jesus. And I just want to mention three ways that the living stone maintains its life as a living stone. And the first, they're all pretty obvious. The first is the relationship with the master builder. As a stone, as the living stone that's being built, the actual key thing is the relationship with God, the master builder who builds with you, with us. So first, some basic questions. Have you committed your life to God? Have you made God number one in your life? Above others, above yourself, in every area. And then how do you maintain that relationship with God? Now this is a time when you might start to feel guilty because, do you know, there's very few people are going to die and say, after they die, oh, I wish I hadn't done all that praying. You know? We're all going to say, I wish I'd prayed more, aren't we? So don't feel guilty about it. Just bear it in mind and do something about it if there's not enough prayer in your life. Similarly with reading the Bible. How well do you know the Bible? Does your Christian lifestyle enhance your relationship with God? Again, this is not discouragement, but I do hope you're feeling a bit uncomfortable if you know that your relationship with God isn't what it's supposed to be. Yeah. I really want you to be uncomfortable because I want you to do something about that. And you might feel uncomfortable now, but as soon as you decide, hey, now it's me, I need to do something, and you're thinking to yourself, no, I can't, I've tried before that, and I'm still in the same place. You don't have to stay in the same place. You do not have to stay in the same place. And it's very important that we're all living stones, all of us. So that relationship with God is absolutely essential. And then, you know, our relationship with God can be affected by the lies that we believe. Like, I can't be very spiritual. I haven't got the time. to pray or to stop and read the Bible or to serve. I need some Sundays off. Or just I'm not good enough. Or God won't do it. Or I don't do prayer meetings. All those lies can be defeated just through getting close to the living stone. Becoming more like Jesus, getting close, so if those lies are existing in your life, there's two things you can do about that actually. One is to start sorting out your relationship with God, and stay close to Him. The other thing you can do is talk to someone about it. If you come and talk to me, if there is a lie that's plaguing you that you can't get rid of, then what I would love to do is pray with you about that, and we'll have a time of prayer ministry, and things will change. Particularly if you're feeling that you are insignificant and that you're never going to be an important living stone. Okay, then, of course, all these stones are in relationship with each other, and that's terribly important. Our relationships with each other. William Barclay said, about commenting on this passage, he said, Christianity is community. The individual Christian finds his true place only when he has built into that edifice the spiritual house. Right? So you only find your true place when you're built into the place you're supposed to be in relationship with everyone else. So what do we do to develop our relationships? Have a chat with person next to with each other. Should I call that? Spend time together, yeah? You give examples of where and when we can do that?
Home groups.
Home groups? I just said that again. Home groups. If you don't belong to a home group, join one. Or come and talk to me because I'm hoping we can start a new one soon. More ways we can relate to each other? Sorry?
Pray for each other.
Pray for each other? Yeah. Pardon? Oh, trying to see the world through their eyes. Social activities, yeah. Ivy is our social groups coordinator. So we're going to see more social activities, like last week. Oh, that's good.
Supporting others.
Do you know, if I was to ask you how many people feel lonely in church, I think we'd be surprised at how many people put their hands up. Right? It's very easy to feel lonely in church. When we have coffee, it's very easy to feel alone. So one of the things we can do is just talk to people and don't listen to the lie that says people don't want to talk to you or nobody likes me. Yeah? Just go and talk to people. Take that challenging step. Get out of your comfort zone. Talk to people. Okay? And then the third thing is just a commitment to be more like Jesus. Yeah. God's the whole thing about relationship with God, every aspect of our relationship with God is He is trying to make us and help us to become more like Jesus. That's the whole work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that grows in us is a description of Jesus. So it's all about being more like Jesus. So a commitment to being more like Jesus. And I could have put, I guess, quite a number of words up here. But these words I thought about. maybe one of these applies to you. Determination, courage, boldness, perseverance, fight, expectation of miraculous, and fearless. And I'll put a dash in between fear and less, because what I mean by that is getting rid of fears. Once again, prayer ministry can help you with that. And we want to, as that song says, stand up for Jesus. Bit of a mixed metaphor when you think of Olympic stars, but never mind. And because of that, we're going to run the Freedom in Christ course. It's going to start on March the 5th. And I would like every single person in the church to do the Freedom in Christ course. The course is... it's a 10-week, it's life-changing discipleship course, and it's for everyone. It's for Christians who are young Christians, or it's for Christians who've been a Christian for many years, right? If the first thought that went through your head is, why do I need that? That's why you need it. Okay? Part of it is the steps to freedom in Christ, and these are very strongly life-changing. You'll hear more about the course, because I want to encourage everybody to do it, and that's going to be one great way that we all become or grow as far as we can as living stones. Jesus is the cornerstone, the chosen and precious cornerstone. God is building something here. The cornerstone is Jesus. That gives me and you assurance, confidence, faith, expectation, drive as individuals, and helps us to go for it. And God gives us a vision as a church. Now, I want to do that. I want to go for it with Jesus. I want to submit my everything to him. I want to be a living stone in the temple that God is building here. What about you? Do you know, I know full well there's loads of people here who are in that category that we'd say living stones. There's so many people who are doing so much in this church, and it's fantastic. But not all. So is it time for you to say, no more holding back from God and his will for my life? No more avoiding challenge? No more settling for average mediocrity? No more settling for compromise? No more sitting in the back seat? No more sitting in the stands as a spectator? No more allowing distractions to deflect me from God's will? I want to be full of his Holy Spirit every day. I want to be close to God, empowered by his Holy Spirit. I want to be his living stone with all that I am built on. Built on the cornerstone that is Jesus. And if you're saying you're making me feel guilty and discouraged, well, do something about that. I mentioned before that God spoke that there is a strong connection with our church building. And this is what it is. The church God builds for us will be alive because it's built on Jesus, the cornerstone. And God builds through us living stones. And God's plan is to use us living stones, alive in Christ, in his power, to bring him glory and majesty. So each one of us must be a living stone, willing and available, or God won't build. Living stones produce a building which is alive. Dead stones produce only a dead building, which just felt like committee meetings and things like that. But God could have built a building years ago, but he doesn't want a dead building. He wants a live building, a building out of which God's life comes and goes into the world. So God has been waiting until he has enough living stones in his hands with which to build. And he's always done that. If you look in scripture, people have always waited before God has acted. And people have been gotten ready, and then God has acted. So, we need to be, all of us, alive. Know that we're living stones. Know that we're ready for God to build. And I believe we're nearly there. Because there's so many living stones here, serving and giving sacrificially, So we are living stones individually being shaped and built up, holy, accepted by God, being built together into God's temple. Each one of us is alive in Christ, each being refined, honed, shaped to fit our role, each an essential part of the building, each in right relationship with each other, all coming together to form one building to bring glory to God as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, through God's grace and to his glory. This is what we are now. Because to a very big, very large extent, this is what we are now. But this is also what we will increasingly be this year as we, living stones, continually submit ourselves into the hands of the Master God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your call upon each of us. Thank you that each of us is important. Each of us is more than significant. Lord, I pray you put in each of our hearts the vision that you have, that each of us is to be a living stone, ready to be built into a spiritual house that you are building, in the sense of what you're building your kingdom here in this place. But also, Lord, we know that you want to build that church that we seek to build. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.